Hey everyone, the Bible reading tonight comes from Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. That's Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith.
G'day, gang. Welcome to church. Well, we're kicking off a little series to finish off the year and head into Christmas. There's a lot going on for us over the next few weeks. Really excitingly, in a few weeks' time, a number of people from this service and the 4:30 service will be being baptized. And make sure you save that, lock it in the calendar, that 5 p.m. time slot. On the 25th. That's going to be really exciting. And then a couple of weeks after that, in December, we'll let you know about this, but we're going to have our 6:30 p.m. service out on the front lawn, Christmas dinner, and that'll be fantastic, just as we have done the last couple of years. But in the gaps squeezed in there, we're going to be doing this series called All of Me. It's a series about generosity, and in particular, how to live lives of radical generosity. About discovering what generosity means to God and the kind of generous heart we are called to have as followers of Jesus. So before we kick off our first talk in that series, just allow me to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the God of all generosity, who didn't spare anything for our sake. God, we cannot even fathom the depths of your love and your grace and what you have given that you might have us. And so we pray that as we dig deep into your grace, that we would learn how to be truly generous. I pray that as we open up your word tonight, that you would speak to us by your Spirit. And we just come to it with an expectation that we will be challenged and changed and transformed to live lives more wholeheartedly devoted to your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think our instinct, particularly in the West, is when we hear that the topic of a sermon is on generosity, we start to think about money and financial giving, which of course has something to do with what we're talking about. But through this series, I hope that our definitions and our understanding of generosity will actually be broadened and stretched. And I want us to see generosity as God sees it. I want us to see generosity not just as an act of giving, but as a lifestyle, as a way of life, something that is all-encompassing. And right at the outset, I think it's really important that we get our definitions of generosity right. Because you see, it's possible to be kind of technically generous with our money, for example, but not be radically generous with all of our life. You know, you can give away fat stacks of cash and yet at the very same time fall way short of the radical whole of life generosity that the Bible calls us to as followers of Jesus. So you can be financially generous and yet be relationally and emotionally and spiritually stingy. You can give away tons of money and yet be someone who holds grudges, who struggles to forgive, who thinks about themselves all the time in everything that they do. You might give to the church and yet give none of your time, attention, and focus to God himself. Do you see what I'm saying? Generosity, yes, it is about giving, but money is not the only currency with which we are called to give. We are called by Jesus to be radically generous with our time, our talents, with our hospitality, with our emotional availability, and our relationships, and with our material wealth. All of these things are currencies, aren't they? They're all means of exchanging value. And the radical generosity that Jesus models to us and calls us to follow requires us to be generous in all of these areas with all of these various currencies. Are you with me? So that's what we're going to do across the 3 weeks, is we're going to look at these different currencies of generosities, the different ways in which we can give. We're going to expand our definitions of generosity to this whole of self-giving in the service of God and others. But actually, before we start thinking practically about how to be more generous, I think it's actually super important that we get down to the heart behind our generosity. You see, Jesus, when he teaches about generosity, seems not to be so much concerned with how much you give, how much money, how much time, how many people you serve. Actually, he's really concerned with the heart with which we give, the heart behind our giving and our serving. Certainly, he doesn't measure our generosity in dollars and cents. He doesn't even actually talk about the amount of hours that we spend in ministry or the amount of people we serve. Really, actually, Jesus gives us two measuring sticks to kind of determine the depth of our generosity: our selflessness and our sacrifice. And I want to explore these two measuring sticks, if you like, our selflessness and our sacrifice, looking at a couple of passages from the Gospels. Starting off with Matthew chapter 6, I'll pop it up on the screen there for you, so if you want to read along. Matthew chapter 6, verses 2 to 4. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I just want to pull one thing from this passage. Jesus here is saying that it's possible to give and to give abundantly and yet to do so for profoundly selfish reasons. It's possible to give for profoundly selfish reasons. And I think we've seen this a lot. Maybe we do this. You know, you can give your money away to the poor and to the needy in order to receive personal honor and accolade so that people might think highly of you. You might be like Jemay from Summer Heights High. Do you remember her with her 40 sponsor children? It's possible to have 40 sponsor children for profoundly selfish reasons. If you haven't, it's on Netflix, so you can go and watch it. You can give all your time to ministry, to serve at church, to help the poor and to the needy, because you need to feel needed. Because you want to feel needed, you need to be wanted by other people. It's possible to give even our time, our talents, our energy for profoundly selfish reasons. But according to this passage, if you feel the need to parade your generosity, if you feel the need to announce it with trumpets, if you get angry and upset when you've given your time and your money to something and you've received no thanks and no one's publicly recognized your contribution, if that really grinds your gears, then you've failed to understand what it means to be radically generous. You fail to understand true generosity as God defines it. See what Jesus is saying here? You can be generous on paper and yet selfish in your heart. And if your heart is not in the right place, that is what Jesus is concerned about. But radical generosity, selfless generosity, when we are just taken out of the picture, that kind of generosity is able to give and give and give and give without any expectation of reward or thanks or honor or personal accolade or gain. That is the type of generosity Jesus calls us to. Generosity also, says Jesus, involves sacrifice. Again, Jesus teaches us that the measure of our generosity is not the amount given, but the degree of sacrifice involved. And I want to point us to this passage you may have heard many times before in Luke chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. As Jesus looked up, he saw the rich putting in their gifts to the temple treasury. He also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. "Truly I tell you," said Jesus, "this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people have given gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had to live on." Jesus says that this widow has given more because she has sacrificed more. You see, for a rich person, giving away large sums of money might actually involve very little sacrifice. In fact, it may be way easier for them to just give their money to help the poor than to actually open up their lives, their hearts, their houses, their time to give to the poor. You see, radical generosity means laying it all on the line, giving it all for the sake of God and others. Radical generosity means giving where it hurts the most. And for many people, it doesn't actually hurt to give money. What hurts is to give time, attention, love, focus to people who are difficult to love, who consume our time, who take from us emotionally, and who are therefore considered outcasts and difficult people. That is where true radical generosity finds its expression. By the same token, and this is perhaps relevant for more of us here tonight, giving away lots of your time might actually require very little sacrifice for some of you, for some of us. You know, when I was a uni student, I actually had plenty of flexible time to give. And so I poured myself into things like youth ministry, Christian surfers, social justice stuff, crew camps, some of the stuff that all of you guys, or a lot of you guys, are involved in right now. And you know what? I didn't struggle to give my time. It didn't feel onerous. It didn't feel like a chore. In fact, I really enjoyed doing all of those things. But at that same time in my life, I really struggled to give away my money. I struggled to give away my money. I didn't actually have that much. I was a uni student working 1 or 2 days a week. But what I did have, I generally kept for myself. And I was really good at giving you reasons why I should do that. I was always saving for the next overseas adventure, the next backpacking trip. I was always saving up for the next surfboard or for the next toy or for the next spearfishing gun or something, some toy that I was into at the time. Some of you can relate. I was always thinking about myself when it came to money. I gave my time because I had a wealth of time to give, but to give that money which I'd saved up and put aside to be spent on myself, that money that I'd saved up for that surfboard, that money that I was going to pour into that epic overseas adventure, that hurt me. That hurt to give away. But Jesus here is actually calling us to give from where it hurts the most. To give, yes, out of our abundance, but also out of our poverty. According to Jesus, the measure of our generosity, it's not counted in dollars and cents. It's not hours spent serving in ministry. It's not the number of people we're able to help. The measure of our generosity is the selflessness with which we give and the sacrifice that that giving requires of us. Now, both of those things are really hard to do. To be truly selfish, selfish isn't that hard. To be truly selfless is much more difficult. To be truly selfless, to actually sacrifice where it hurts, is countercultural in a world that lives for comfort and security. So how do we do this? Who actually lives like that? How do we give extravagantly and recklessly without any expectation of return? How do we give sacrificially, even at great cost to our own comfort and security? I want to turn now to those words that Zoe read out for us, spoken from someone who truly gave it all, the Apostle Paul. I mean, he embodies for us what it looks like to give our whole selves in service of Jesus and pursue him at the cost of our lives. So let's see what he has to say in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 9. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Just leave it there. What's Paul saying? What's the key to radical generosity according to Paul? He's saying that Christ must become everything and everything else must become nothing compared to Christ. Christ must become everything. Everything else must become nothing in comparison to him. You see, when Christ becomes everything in our lives, all that I have in this world becomes like nothing. And Paul says, I'll happily lose it all for your sake. I'll happily give it all away for the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus as my Lord. I'll give it all away to know Jesus. In other words, when I know the love of Jesus, when I know it deep in my heart and soul, when I know that I am so treasured by him that he would give up heaven to come and to die so that he could have me, then I no longer need recognition. I no longer need accolade or praise for what I give. I can just give freely and extravagantly, not to receive love and to receive acceptance, praise, honor, and glory, but because I already know that I am fully loved, fully accepted by God. I don't give in order to receive love. I give because I am deeply loved and deeply accepted by Jesus. And so you could say that to the extent that we know the radical love of God, we will live radically generous lives. Again, when Jesus becomes my identity, when I'm found in him, as Paul says, when I know that I am a child of God, I no longer need to find my identity in things. I don't find my identity in the way I dress or the suburb that I buy a house in or the figures in my bank account. Why do we find these things so hard to give away in our culture? Because that's where we find value and meaning, isn't it? We find value and meaning in what we have, what we own, where we live, what our career is. But when we find our true identity in Christ, an identity that is so rock solid, that surpasses anything else the world has to offer, all of those things become garbage, in the words of Paul. They become rubbish. In other words, the things in our life become that, just things that can be freely given away to heal and restore a broken world. To the extent that my identity is found in Christ, I am able to live a radically generous life. Again, when I truly know God's grace, when I truly comprehend in the depths of my heart that as a broken and rebellious sinner, utterly undeserving of God's love, that Jesus still pursued me all the way to that cross. When I know the grace of God, then I will be able to give and give and give without any expectation of return or reward. Christ freely gave everything to gain a sinner like me. How can I not in return give everything to him, give everything to those around me, regardless of whether they deserve it or what they can give me in return? To the extent that we know the depth of God's grace, we can live radically generous lives. Do you see what Paul's saying? When we know Christ, everything else in life becomes like nothing compared to the worth, the value, the treasure that we have in him. This is the key to radical generosity. Until you get this, until you get the heart behind our generosity as Christians, it doesn't matter how much we talk about it, you won't be able to give up these things. Jesus gave up all the treasures of heaven. All praise, glory, and honor were his. He was over and above all of creation. It was all his. And he gave up that position to come in weakness as a human being born in a manger, to live a perfect life and die a criminal's death for me and you. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? He had everything except you and me. We are worth more to Jesus than anything in the entire universe. Think about that for a second. He had everything he could ever have possibly wanted, except you and I. And so he gave all of that up to chase us down. When you know that, when you get that, when the gospel, that good news, sinks deep into your heart, nothing will be of more value to you than Christ. You'll be able to say, along with Paul, that I consider everything as loss. It's all loss compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I might gain Christ and be found in him. Super simple. The key to generosity, radical generosity. When Jesus becomes everything, everything else in our life becomes nothing. You are then able to freely give all that you have, all of yourself, all of you, all of me, in the service of Jesus and his people. I just want to finish with one quick story from the Solis. Every time we go to the Solomon Islands with a crew from Emerge, people just come away just blown away by the radical generosity that we encounter there. And you might have heard about the principal of the school that we support. Her name's Rose. She had a good job in one of the better schools in the capital city of the Solomon Islands. Paid the bills. She had, comparatively to the people around her, lived like a reasonably comfortable life. But in the village that she lived in, which was far away from the school that she worked in, she knew that most of the kids there didn't go to school. Most of the kids there would run around the streets every day while other people would put on a uniform, pack a bag, and go off to school. And she was Over a number of years, actually, God laid on her heart this vision to start a school there in her community for those kids, for her kind of people. And she pursued what God had kind of put on her heart to do. And some of you guys know the story about how she met Ali and Nathan from our church, and our church was able to raise some funds to start this school. But the journey since then has been really difficult for her. So how's this for giving everything? When you go to this little village, the school isn't kind of on a big block of land with a fence with a big sign up saying Ali Nath School. The school actually sits underneath her house. Every single day, she has 70 tiny kids run into her tiny little house to come to school. Her husband, her kids, every day share their lives with 70 kids and their parents, which is just wild when you think about what that would look like for us to do that here. 5 days of the week. It's crazy, but it's beautiful. Actually, when you go to Rose's house, you look up and you realize that there's no walls. In fact, the whole thing's unfinished, and it's remained unfinished for the last 5 years. Because the moment she quit that job in her kind of well-paying private school and started to pursue the vision that God had put on her heart, she actually took such a dramatic pay cut that she actually lives kind of in a temporary house under the house that they were building. And she may not ever finish that house. And to me, it stands there kind of as a monument to her generosity and what she has given up for the sake of these kids and giving them an education, which is, again, wild when you think about what it would look like for us to do that. Who would live in a shack underneath an incomplete house? You know, there's been multiple times over the last 4 or 5 years that the school's been up and running where her and the other teachers have actually gone without pay for months on end. Their paycheck is paid by the kids and their parents, and a lot of these parents live in quite extreme poverty and often can't afford to pay the fees. And rather than kick these kids out of the school until they can pay the fees, Rose allows them to come every single day into her house. She not only teaches them, but feeds them often as well. Again, going without pay for months on end. Who among us would live like that? And when you talk to her, though, you see what drives and sustains that kind of radical generosity. It is not so that she can receive accolade and praise. In fact, women in that society get very little recognition for what they do. In fact, sometimes we're saddened by the lack of praise and recognition that she gets, and we try to give her a bit when we're over there. She doesn't do it for that. She does it because she sees in each of those kids, reflected back at her, the image of God. She sees them as so valuable because they are loved and precious children of God, treasured by Him for whom Jesus died. She sees them through the same lens, and there is nothing that she wouldn't give for them. Her generosity is driven by her faith. Her selflessness comes from knowing Christ. Her identity lies not in this school, not in its success or failure, but in knowing that she is fully and passionately pursuing Jesus, following Him, and living out the plan that He has for her. It's a beautiful picture of generosity, one we can take a lot from. We are no different to Rose. Just because we live in a different place, the expectations that Jesus puts on us as followers of Jesus, followers of Him, are exactly the same here. So I'm going to leave you with that challenge. I'm going to pray for us before we take communion together tonight. Let's pray. God, we thank You for the gift of Jesus. We thank You that You treasured us so much that You left heaven to pursue us, to come for us, to die for us. God, may that good news, that gospel of grace, sink deep into our hearts and empower us to live lives of radical generosity. lives that fly in the face of all the expectations of our culture, lives that make people stop and question, how do we live like that? What drives that kind of love, that kind of giving? God, we need you to do that. We need to know you. We need to be empowered by your Spirit. We need to be transformed from the inside out. So God, we ask for your help. We submit ourselves to you, and we surrender all that we have, all that we are, to service of you and your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take up communion tonight, but we're going to do it a little bit differently. I'm going to invite up Mitch after. Do it later. Do you want to do a song first? Is that what you're saying? Let's do communion and then I'll get to you. Sweet as. What he has is really cool, but we're just figuring this out today, and so that'll be really good. We're going to do communion now. Everyone's so confused. We're going to do communion now. So if people want to come up, obviously, as we gather as the body of Christ to remember Jesus, we take this bread as a sign of his body given for us. We take the cup to symbolize his blood spilt out for us. And as we do that, we remember the generous, all-giving grace of God. So I'm going to pray, and then we'll come up and receive communion tonight.